today is found in the 8th and in the 9th chapter of the books of the Acts of the Apostles. We left off speaking to you last week about this man Simon, who likewise was baptized, but who later revealed himself to be nothing else but a hypocrite, and that it was not true that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with his whole heart. We find that the disciples had come to this place, Peter and John, and had reprimanded this man, Simon, and they left again and went back to Jerusalem. And we find likewise that an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said unto him, Arise and go down to the south of the way which leadeth from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. We have here this man Philip, whose blessing was richly experienced by many in Samaria. He had come there and had preached Christ, and the preaching was used by the Spirit of God to the conversion of many. There was a church established in this city, and it was flourishing. And now suddenly this man Philip, he was commanded by an angel of the Lord to go down to the south, to the way which leadeth from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Of course, today we don't expect an angel to come to the minister and tell him which way he should go and where he should locate. But ministers, if they're God-sent ministers, they are under the special providence of God, and they go wherever their heavenly sender sends them. But this man, Philip, he had an angel come to him, a wonderful thing. And this angel commanded him to go down this way. What do you think was the thoughts of this man, Philip? Here he was in the midst of a flourishing city and a church that was growing every day. People, any number of people in this city, and he had to leave it. He had to go down to a place which was desert, where there was no city, where there were no people. He had to leave this place. He wasn't like Jonah. The Lord commanded Jonah that he should go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't go. He went the opposite way. Not with this man, Philip. No, he was obedient to his heavenly sender. He had to then leave this place and go to this way which led from Jerusalem to Gaza, which was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 60 miles from Jerusalem. Of this experience of this man, Philip, from Jerusalem to Gaza, where it was desert, I was meditating on that. It might be to the comfort of somebody that's listening to me. Probably you have been to Jerusalem in your life. Jerusalem was the place of worship. Jerusalem was where the Israelites gathered from time to time to observe their feast and to worship God. And when God gives you a new heart and gives you a new life, then I think you sing too about Jerusalem. It's such a wonderful place, the Church of God. You're only too glad to go up to the house of God, and at that time, why, you enjoy much, much of the favor of God, of the love of God. You are given much to hear of the truth as you never heard before. Your heart is open, your ears are open, and all you long to be in the house of God. Jerusalem, a wonderful place. You enjoy much in prayer, in reading, and hearing the word preached. Oh, what a blessed time this was for some of you that have been listening to me. You can never forget that time. And now this man, he had to go down into a place which was a desert. This you never thought that you would have to go into either, neither did I. And it isn't a very pleasant place to be in, I must confess. But it's the way that God leads his people. You know anything of the history of the Israelites, you know that they were very near to enter into the city or into the land of Canaan. And when they came so near to it, they rebelled. They listened to the spies' report. They would not believe the good report. And because of their unbelief, they had to go down through the wilderness 40 years. A type of the way that God leads every true Israelite. And so it went with you, probably, that's listening to me. You have come likewise into a desert. And all those lively feelings and all those things that you have experienced in the past, they're all gone. And you must sing as we did this morning in the Psalter, I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry, everything dried up. No life, no feeling, nothing under the truth, just deadness, coldness, no prayer. Oh, what a sad state to be in. It isn't a very pleasant experience. And how long it lasts, that depends upon God and upon his sovereignty. So this man, Philip, he had to go down into this way which was desert. And I'm sure he was thinking, well, why does the Lord send me down here? Why, there's no people to preach to. There's nothing here but a desert. What am I going to do here? But it was God's will. And when he came down into this desert, and he seen this road that ran from Jerusalem to Gaza, he saw in the distance a chariot. And upon this chariot, there was a man sitting, an Ethiopian. A eunuch who had come all the way from Ethiopia and had went up to Jerusalem to worship God. And he was on his way returning back to his land, to Ethiopia. This man, he was a eunuch. He was of great authority under the Queen Candace. He had charge of all her treasures. But it appears that he was a proselyte to Judaism, to the Jewish religion, and that he went up to Jerusalem. Some think maybe he was a righteous man and he was circumcised and he was permitted to enter into the temple. Others think he was but a Gentile, but he worshiped in the court of the Gentiles. What he was actually, the Bible doesn't say, but he was a eunuch. And he was a man that was well-liked by the queen, for he had charge of all her treasure. He was an honest man, a sincere man, and probably had found favor and affection in the sight of the queen. Now, this land, Ethiopia, is an extensive land in Africa, and anciently many queens used to reign over this country. In fact, the Queen of Sheba, she was a queen in Ethiopia, and it was a rich country, very populated. They were gifted with much gold and silver and precious stones, and they had much perfume and much blessings from God. This country then had a queen ruling over it, and she allowed this eunuch to go up to Jerusalem, which was a great distance away from Africa. He had to come over the sea, and then he had to walk, or with his chariot, he went a long ways to Jerusalem. And then, when he was in Jerusalem, it is thought that he came up to worship God in truth and in sincerity. And he found that the priest and the Levites and the scribes, they did not help him anything. He learned nothing there. But being a religious man, he was returning and sitting on his chariot. Where his religion come from is a question too. The Old Testament was translated into the Greek in the land of Egypt. And from Egypt, it descended into Ethiopia. But some think that the Queen of Sheba, who had been to Jerusalem at the time of Solomon, and who had seen his glory and all his riches and all his wisdom, and who had fell away in a faint even, because what she had heard was only half of what she saw. This woman returning back to Ethiopia, they think she had an attendant who was a relative to this Ethiopian going up to Jerusalem, so that he had been an attendant upon one of these queens, the Queen of Sheba. And this man had handed down what he had seen when he had went with the queen to Jerusalem to his posterity. But it could be that he had likewise the Bible, which was translated into the Greek, and which he was reading as he was returning from Jerusalem. He was doing a good thing. He was reading the scriptures. These men that were so near to royalty, they were superior persons, and they understood the Greek language. And he was enabled to read the Greek translation of the Old Testament. This man, likewise, was a eunuch. He was not married. He had no children. These men were called the guard of the bed. They guarded the room where the queen slept in. And these people were used by these royalty for this purpose. So this man, he's reading the Bible. A good thing to do, I said. I wonder how many of you read the Bible. Have you a custom of reading the scriptures? Whenever you have any time that you don't know what to do with yourself, do you take the Bible up and read it? Or do you take a magazine? Do you take a newspaper? Or do you take some other book which would never lead you to God? But do you take a good book to read? There isn't a better book in the world than this book that I have in my hand. It's the book that God has given unto us. And I would exhort you, my hearers, to make use of this book. It's a precious book. Many times when you read this book, then you find that something comes down with what you're reading and gives you some light. It gives you to see and to understand what you are reading. For if we don't understand what we are reading, it cannot be to our profit. It's a blessing before we read the Bible to get on our knees and ask that we may be instructed, that God may be our teacher, that he may enlighten us. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, then the Spirit of God comes in with the Word, and then the Word becomes the Word of God to us. And then it's so sweet to read the scriptures. We don't have to read too much of the scriptures, and suddenly we are led into prayer, into supplication to God. We are given to enjoy some of his communion, some of his fellowship. We find the Word to be sweeter than honey. Just as Jeremiah says in one place, when I found thy word, I did eat it, and it was to the joy and to the rejoicing of my heart. Have you ever read the word like that? You remember the times you did? How anxious you were to read the scriptures? How you took the Bible with you? You went in the corner maybe, you got away from your family, from your children. Maybe even took it to your work like I did. I hid away from the people in the place where I labored even, just so that I could read the scriptures, so anxious to read the Bible. So it was with this man, this Ethiopian. He didn't just forget all about what he had heard at Jerusalem. He took his Bible and he was reading it in his chariot. And as he was reading the Bible, we find that the Spirit of the Lord came to Philip and said to him, "Hasten, run ye alongside of this chariot." A wonderful blessing for Philip. He knew what he had to do. The Spirit told him where to go. And he joined himself to this chariot. And when he got near to the chariot, he heard this man reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And he said to him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" A good question, my hearers. A question you and I should ask ourselves many times when we get done reading a chapter in the Bible. "Understandest thou what thou readest?" We understand so little, isn't it true? How little we understand of the scriptures. How blind, how ignorant we are. We read over the top of them. Let's be honest, sometimes we're only too glad we're done reading a chapter, especially when it's got a lot of funny names in it and we can't even pronounce them and we don't understand what it's about. We close the book and that's the reading of the scriptures. But there are other times when it's different, as I said before. Now, understandest thou what thou readest? Put that question to you, to yourself, whenever you read the scriptures, my hearers. And what would your answer be? If you don't understand it, get on your knees and ask the Lord to give you an understanding heart, that you may know the mind of God revealed in his word. This man, when he was asked this question, he says, "How can I except some man guide me?" A good question to answer. How can I if some man doth not guide me? So it is with us, my hearers. How are we going to understand the scriptures if that man, Christ Jesus, don't guide us? If his good spirit don't instruct us and lead us? Or we know very, very little of the scriptures, and we have at times very little desire to be instructed out of his word. But if you become a Bible class teacher, you will sure need the Spirit to instruct you. You will find yourself on your knees many times praying that God would give you light and wisdom and understanding to explain the lesson that you have to teach. Oh, that every one of our young people would become a Bible class teacher. Just to bring you on your knees, just to bring you to God that you may be instructed by him. So this man, he didn't know. He needed somebody to guide him. And he desired Philip to come up on the wagon, on the chariot, and be his guide. And Philip, he came up and he sat alongside of him. And the place in scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb that is dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from off the earth. A wonderful portion of scripture. The Spirit of God had indicted this, that it was written by the prophet Isaiah. And it was just the time for this man, this Ethiopian, to be instructed in the way of salvation. This man had went up to worship God at Jerusalem. So it is with you and I. We have heard of God, and we come up every Lord's Day to worship him. But what do we know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? We know that there is a God. We believe that there is a God. Some of us have experienced something from this God even in our hearts. But what do we know about Jesus Christ? That this man, he was from Ethiopia. The race of people from that country are black. Doesn't make by God. Whatever race we may be of, whatever creed we may be of, whatever color we may be of skin, God don't look at that. God looks at the heart, my hearers, and every one of our hearts are in the same condition by nature. So this man's time was to be born again. This man's time was to be brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if it's your time, and if you are a chosen vessel of mercy, God will see to it that the means will either be brought to you or that you will come to the means.
He uses his means. He uses his word. So he used this Philip in this way, that Philip began at this very place of Scripture to preach Christ. I said to you last week he was preaching Christ in Samaria. That's all that this man Philip could speak about, Christ. He was full of Christ.
The Holy Spirit had possession of Philip, and he couldn't do anything else but speak about him. And so when he heard this verse read to him, immediately he was given to speak to this man, and he preached Jesus to him. Oh, what a wonderful place this was.
Here it was in the desert, in a lonely way. The church was the chariot. The Ethiopian was the man that was in the church, and Philip was the minister. But it was the time of God. Doesn't make how many people may be in a church. But if he has singled you out and it's your time, you may be sure he will use his precious word. And so he used his word in this respect, spoken by Philip. Philip began to preach unto him Jesus. I think he took him back to when Jesus was born. His humble birth, his humble life. What the purpose of his coming into this world was. And how that when he was upon this earth, he did so many miracles. He did so many good things. And the Spirit, as Philip was beginning to teach him this, began to apply this to the heart of this Ethiopian. He led him to Calvary, explained to him the meaning of why that Christ had to suffer and die and shed his precious blood for the remission of the sins of all his people. And then he took him from there to the place where Jesus ascended up on high. How that he rose from the dead and went to heaven again. And that this Jesus of whom he was speaking was gifted with all power in heaven and upon earth. And that he was a merciful Savior, a Savior able and willing to save to the uttermost the greatest of sinners. And oh, I think that this man, the Ethiopian, he was drinking this in. Oh, the Spirit brought home this message of Jesus to his very soul. He had never heard of Jesus. He didn't even know the meaning of this scripture. Probably if we asked a child in our catechism class what the meaning of it was, they would immediately give you a good answer. Because they had been instructed. They had been taught from their youth. But this man had never heard this. He had never been instructed in this. And here now, Philip was used by the Spirit of God to teach a chosen vessel of mercy, the way of salvation, as it is in Christ Jesus. Philip must have went on and explained to him how that after a person had received this truth in their hearts, that they were to be baptized as Christ had commanded. And when they were journeying on, this eunuch, he seen water. And he was so filled by the Spirit of God, of the love of Christ, that when he seen this water, he says to Philip, what hindereth me from being baptized? And Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, my hearers, if thou believest with all thine heart. This is the point. Oh, we can believe with this. We can make confession with this. But here is the place where we must believe. And this is where this eunuch believed, because the Spirit had brought home the truth to his very heart. As Paul says in a certain place, with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe in Jesus Christ. And wherever this takes place, such a one will surely be saved. So this eunuch, he desired then to be baptized. And he made confession with his mouth of his faith that was in his heart. And they both got down out of the chariot, and they went into the water. And Philip baptized this eunuch. And when they came up out of the water, we find that the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip and carried him away. And he was found in Azotus. Now this baptism, my hearers. In these countries, most of these people, they traveled on their bare feet. And when he went down into the water, they didn't both take all their clothes off and go into the water naked. They went down probably up to their ankles. And then probably Philip took the water and put it on his head and baptized him in this manner. And this is the way the commentary explains this. And in all probability, it's true. Anyway, he was baptized. And he received, while he was being baptized, the signification of baptism. Oh, what a mercy this is, my hearers. He was given to believe that the water signified the blood of Jesus Christ, the washing away of all his sins. Oh, the sweetness of the loveliness of Jesus so filled his heart that when the Spirit caught Philip and took him away. We find that this Ethiopian, he continued on his journey with joy. I think both of these men were filled with joy, especially Philip.
He was the instrument in God's hand to bring this eunuch to the faith in Christ Jesus. How happy this Philip must have been, where before he probably was questioning the reason why that he had to go down in such a desert place. Now he knew. Now he's seen the glory of God in it. And now he likewise was so filled with joy that the message he had brought was blessed by God. And one more was added to the Church of Christ.
So this eunuch, he returned back to Gaza. And in Gaza, he received a ship and sailed across the sea back to Africa, where it is said he became a minister, and he began to preach Jesus Christ himself there in Ethiopia. As you read in one of the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 68, Ethiopia shall soon stretch out his hands unto God. This man became a minister, proclaiming the wonderful blessing that he himself had received. Oh, how much this man had to speak about when he got back home. I don't think he ever forgot that journey, do you? Up to Jerusalem and back again? Never. Oh, he had something to relate to his family, and likewise to all that met him. But the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip up. The commentary says, there was a miracle performed here. The Spirit caught Philip up in the air. The eunuch saw him, and suddenly he saw him no more. The Spirit carried him to Azotus, 30 miles distant, a city in the land of the Philistines. There, the Spirit dropped Philip, and the eunuch, he lost his minister, but he didn't lose his Savior. He went home with him. What a mercy, my hearers. For this eunuch, what a wonderful blessing it was for him as he traveled back with Jesus in his heart. Now this concludes this lesson that we should have had last week Sunday. Today our lesson is out of the chapter Acts 9. And we find in the first verse that Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter unto the disciples of Jesus Christ. And he went to the high priest and requested letters to go to the city of Damascus. And this man, Saul, his name means destroyer. His name in the Roman language was Paul, that meant little. He was a destroyer. He was a persecutor, an injurious man himself. He says so. This man, Saul, he was born on the island of Sicily in the city of Tarsus. There he had some education, and from there he was sent by his parents to Jerusalem, where he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. His father was a Pharisee, and he likewise was educated and instructed in the rigid life of Pharisees and how that they must live.
He was a very conscientious man and a very gifted man with wisdom and understanding. He wasn't a bad man morally, but he was an enemy of Christ, an enemy of Christianity. He hated Christianity. This man, Saul, he began to persecute the Christ, the Church of Christ. We have him likewise taking delight in the death of Stephen. And this man, he likewise requested in this first verse letters from the high priest to go to Damascus. The high priest at that time was something like the Pope of Rome in our time. He had authority over all the Jewish synagogues in whatever country they were in. And Paul, he went to him. And in one verse he says, he had received permission from the elders and from the priests to do this. He had been then to the Sanhedrin, the fit body of the Jewish religion. They had given him permission. They had given him these letters. And we find him on his way to Damascus. You may read the history of Paul's life after he was converted in the book of the Acts. How much he was persecuted, how much success he had under his ministry, what trials he went through, all for the sake and for the name of Jesus Christ. This man was very gifted. Not only was he a zealous preacher of the gospel, but he likewise wrote 14 epistles, letters, which we have in the Bible. And this man, he was likewise a martyr for the truth. For we find that everyone doesn't agree at the precise time and what year it was that he suffered martyrdom. But they all agree in the manner in which he was a martyr. And that was in the time of Nero. When Nero was persecuting the Church of Christ, there was a general persecution against the Christians, and Paul was taken, and because he was a Roman citizen, he was beheaded. This is the way he died. And they buried him in Antioch Way. And where he was buried, Constantine the Great, he built a great church there in honor of Paul. So this man's life came to an end likewise. And now we find him here as this persecutor, this injurious character, going towards Damascus. Damascus was a city 160 miles northwest of Jerusalem. One of the most ancient cities in the world, even to this day. We read of this city before the time of Abraham. Abraham's servant Eliezer was from Damascus. The city is still in existence. This city was a flourishing city. And in this city, many of the Christians had fled because of the persecution at Jerusalem. And they found a place of refuge in this city. And Paul had heard of these Christians being in this city, and he desired to bring them back. Whether they were men or women, he would bring them bound back to Jerusalem before this tribunal of the Jewish church
and they would decide what should be done with them. And now on his way to this city, he was getting very near to it. Suddenly there shined a light from heaven round about him.
Oh my heavens, he was a person that was a persecutor. He was one that was taking people prisoners and having them put in prison. But now somebody appeared unto him and made him a prisoner, made him a captive, and in a wonderful way. A light shined round about from heaven, and he fell to the earth. My hearers, if God ever shines down into your soul with his wonderful light, that's where you'll go. You'll go down on your knees. You'll go down on the earth. Or if ever he discovers to you what you are and what you have done against him, oh, how humbled you will become. Oh, what a sinner you will become in his holy sight. So this man, he knew not what this was. He never had any experience like this, and so did you, who never was born again. You know nothing about the light of God coming down into your heart. So this man, he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice speaking unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All my hearers, he spake back and said, Who art thou, Lord? Wonderful words. He knew somebody was talking to him from heaven. Who it was, he did not know. But he questioned who it was. And Jesus spake unto him and said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, a wonderful voice. A wonderful person speaking to him. A wonderful revelation from heaven to this man who was such a persecutor, such a murderer, and deserved to be sunk into the earth forever and ever. He was stopped, my hearers, stopped by the love and by the grace of God. He was stopped to fall down upon his knees and ask the Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? Oh, that he would stop every one of you that are listening to me. He's able to do so. He's mighty to do so. He done it to this man. And what would hinder him from doing it to you? Oh, that he may do so, that you may be given to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he will instruct you in the way that you shall go. The Lord bless my instruction out of his word to your hearts this day. Next week, we'll pick up the conversion of Saul and go on with it. That's all for today.